You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
Hey Ryan, how are you today?
I'm really good, Pam. How about you?
I'm good. Hey, you know, we talk about a lot of things that we do around here. You know, we talk about exercise, we talk about nutrition, but sometimes those things can be hard, you know.
Sometimes. There's a lot of them that are hard.
And I know whenever I go to the grocery store, it's very overwhelming sometimes to know if really the label, what it reads on the front, is it really nutritious to us?
Especially nowadays with so many varieties and, of course, the terrible increase in cost.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. The grocery store can certainly be challenging.
And then not only buying groceries, but the time to prep our meals.
Yeah. Do you ever have a time when you purchase stuff and then it goes bad before you eat it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably too many
us
to count.
Us too. Wasteful, right?
Yes.
Nothing makes me more angry than to go, but we should have used that.
Why didn't we eat that?
Right, yes. Right. So that leads us to today's episode, right?
Yes.
You know, we say all the time we have great content and we have great, and that's really because we find great guests. And this guest, we didn't have to go very far for, did we?
No.
We have some wonderful folks that work with us and contract with us to help you guys, the listeners. And hopefully many of you are our attenders at programs and activities, one of which is our nutrition class, which I have to tell you, Pam, they make some really cool stuff in there.
You know, I'm always afraid or hesitant because maybe I'm a little picky eater to try some of the things, but I haven't had anything bad yet.
Don't say yet. You just haven't had anything bad.
No, I haven't. And things that I would cook at home that I probably wouldn't normally cook.
Right. Right.
You know, and so it gets me out of the rut of the same recipes over and over.
Yeah. Well, let's jump right to it and introduce our guest. Rachel Hutto is joining us, our dietitian that we contract with. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely excited to be here.
Well, we appreciate it. And, all kidding aside, seriously, you know, it's nice to, I know our folks, when they come to nutrition class, get to sample things that you've made that are maybe a little different. Maybe they hadn't thought about adding X or Y into their recipe. And there's always something to taste, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, lots of fun. Well, let's talk about how going to the grocery store, maybe we can make that maybe a little easier in their shopping experience. And then definitely we want to talk about, because I know you're really excited to start talking about meal prep.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I think that whenever we're able to plan out our meals and do some prepping, it not only lends towards an easier week, but it lends towards not being confused or having to talk to our spouses or our kids about what they want for dinner. It's just what's already on the menu. Yeah.
So whenever you're going into the grocery store, what should you do to prepare when you go?
Yeah. So if we can really think about like what we want to do for our meals before we ever get to the grocery store, it allows us to be able to find out which ingredients we need. And then we can really compare what we already have at home and then be able to get our products that we need from the store and really think about how much of something I need. And then categorizing them in areas such as produce or dairy shelf ingredients, frozen. It allows us to make sure that we don't miss anything while we're at the store and will allow for you to find a flow that makes shopping quicker and easier.
You know, I'm a creature of habit and I like my grocery store. And whenever I go to a different grocery store, it throws me off. You know,
No two grocery stores are the same.
No. So whenever I go into my grocery store, I think, okay, there's the bread and there's the lunch meat. Well, we hear processed meat isn't good for us. So what are some options that we can do to instead of those processed meats?
Yeah, just buying something like a turkey tenderloin and getting that done and then slicing it yourself is a much better option than grabbing the turkey deli off of the shelf. And the same thing with chicken or pork. And so you can take those things and create them into something that can go on a sandwich or in a wrap without having to necessarily grab the prepackaged deli meat that is processed.
I know one of the things we've talked about a lot of times, because everybody thinks, right, that they've got to change their entire eating habits now that they have cancer or they have finished cancer. And, you know, there's a lot of questions and debates, but I always seem to feel like one of the biggest ones that comes up all the time is organic or not organic. And so let's just address that elephant in the room. I know you've talked about that with our folks as well. So what do you say about that?
I find that a lot of the times the cost of organic vegetables is not necessarily worth the hype. Taking your vegetables home and just washing them thoroughly, honestly, with just water, will typically do the job. And so finding the cost and the benefit, especially if you're on a budget, typically that is something that can go towards the wayside.
Yeah. And I think too, we've had the discussion about frozen and fresh. That's another one, right? Yeah. So let's talk about that as well.
Absolutely. And whenever you are buying things that are frozen, it can be just as useful as something that's fresh, and sometimes more useful if it can stay longer and isn't something that you're throwing in the trash because it went bad. But really turning over that product and looking at the food label, and you know, if we're buying frozen okra, it should say okra. And that should be the only ingredient on that list. And so just looking at like what is actually in the food that you're purchasing in the ingredient list is important.
What about the cans versus the fresh and the frozen?
Absolutely. And you know, there's room for canned vegetables in our lives. And whenever we look at canned vegetables, we really, again, want to turn it over and look at that food label, because our biggest concern there is really sodium and some of the preservatives that go into that. And so if we're able to buy something that is reduced sodium or low sodium, that would be a better pick. Now, reduced sodium is typically only about 50% of the original product. And so that can get tricky. But if you choose a low sodium product, it has to be less than 140 milligrams per serving. And so that is mandated. And so choosing those products, and if that product isn't available, again, throwing those vegetables in a colander, rinsing them with water and getting some of that sodium off of them before you cook them is another great way to reduce your sodium intake from canned vegetables.
Labels are tricky.
They are. What about the meat selection? What should we look at whenever we go buy meat?
That's a loaded question, because I think it really just depends on who you are and our budget and what we're looking for. So we do know that, you know, meat products that are grass fed are going to have higher amounts of fats that can be anti-inflammatory. But we also know that those are a lot more expensive. And so the regular meats are great too, but choosing something that is less fat compared to more fat in it. So looking at like a 97.3 ground beef instead of an 80.20. But again, more expensive. And maybe not for everybody. Maybe we need to gain weight, or maybe we need some more saturated fats in our diet because we're not getting it from anywhere else. That might be a time that we are choosing the 80-20 meat. And if we can't afford anything besides the 80-20, but we're looking to reduce our fat intake, we can again take that meat, put it into a colander with some paper towels at the bottom, really try and get some of that fat soaked up. Or we can even rinse our meat and get some of the fat off of it, throw it back into the pan and season it at that point in time. And so there's a lot of variations of what can be done to optimize that.
What about like fish and versus canned fish?
Oh, well, you know, fresh fish is ideal.
We're in the panhandle.
No. But canned fish is going to totally like have its place and still be able to provide a lot of key nutrients. And so buying, you know, canned tuna and canned salmon is again a lot better than just like not consuming fish at all. We should really be consuming fish at least twice a week at minimum. And we know that there's just a lot of really great benefits from taking in fish or plant-based proteins in place of some of our red meat throughout the week, and what that can do for our heart health and general health.
Can you give us some examples of the plant-based proteins?
Yeah, absolutely. So legumes are a great plant-based protein. And whenever I say that, that's going to encompass things like beans, chickpeas, but also lentils. And so whenever we're looking at legumes, they have a lot of fiber, they have a lot of vitamins, they can give us some iron, they can give us plant-based proteins, and are really well-rounded. And then things like quinoa, which is a grain that cooks very similarly to rice, would be a great option, again, to get some plant-based proteins in. And then the contradictory soy-based products that I think have a place in everybody's diet is another like great option for tofu intake, or textured vegetable protein, which a lot of people haven't heard of, but we've done some recipes with, and so that's just dehydrated soy flakes, and you can rehydrate it with water or with chicken stock or beef broth, and it rehydrates to the consistency of ground beef. And the nice part is that it's like half the price of ground beef, right? And gives us a plant-based protein option. And so it's really great to either half your ground beef with or to use in place of ground beef.
So you talked about quinoa. I know in your class you had ready-made quinoa. Is that better than making it yourself on the stove?
No, but it's quicker. And so
sometimes convenience is important.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes whenever we look at convenience and we think about, not having the skills to prep some food sometimes, or, you know, I've never cooked it before and I don't want to mess it up. Not having the time, or maybe not having the energy because we're going through chemo, or we have kids running around, or whatever that might be. Those convenient things have a space, and a convenience quinoa is better than a convenience fast food.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Absolutely.
So let's go back. You talked about in the beginning, you said going to the store with a list and preparing your list ahead of time. Yes. And that's a really good tip. And then we started talking about other ideas and thoughts and questions we know that our folks are wanting to know about. But let's go back to that, because I feel like that's a tricky part, right? Am I making a list, sticking to your list, and only buying what's on your list? and then using that stuff. Is there any other tricks like that, like in your meal planning? And then we'll talk about prepping afterwards.
Yeah, for sure. And so whenever we think about like our week, if we can find some consistency throughout our week, that also tends its way towards creativity. Whether that be the fact that like we're going to use quinoa and potatoes for our starches this week, and that's all, or we're just going to cook up a bunch of chicken, and then we're going to eat our fish servings for the week. That allows us to A, buy in bulk, and typically can get it cheaper. B, not feel as though we're going to have a million things that are on our list, but C, we can prep it ahead of time, and then be able to just put things together for our meals. And so we're less likely to waste the food that we purchase.
Buying in bulk is big, Pam. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't think it necessarily means like you used to, like you had to go to Sam's, or you had to go to, you know, we don't have a Costco, but you had to go to those places. You can still buy in bulk at United. You can still buy in bulk at Walmart and so forth.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
My question with bulk is, you know, how good is, like, for instance, chicken. How long does chicken last in the refrigerator?
Cooked. So typically 3 days is a good lay of the land. And so that gets kind of iffy when we get like past that, especially if we're going through any type of therapies where our immune system might be down. And so I always give like a very like flat 3 days most of the time, because that's safe for just about everybody. So It can tend its way towards, you know, I cook in bulk for the entire week. Can I put half of it in the freezer, use my first half, unthaw the rest of it? Or I know a lot of people who will just cook their meat for the entire month, portion it out into day by day, and then put it in the freezer, and they just have to pull it out the night beforehand. And the cooking aspect is done.
Yeah. We've done some of that where, like, you know, I'm going to put it on the smoker and cook it a large amount and then, yeah, portion it out, freeze what you're not going to use now. And so much easier just to pull it out.
It makes it nice for these hot days where you feel like not cooking.
It sure does. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think the most important thing about that is if you're going to do that, we should really just put, you know, salt and pepper whenever we're seasoning these types of things. Because if you pull out some ground beef that's already cooked and you want to make tacos, well, you can add taco seasoning. And if you want to put it into an Italian dish, you can add Italian seasoning. But if we do that to the entirety of it, it really tends its way only towards one type of food.
You're having tacos for a month.
Yes. So whenever you talk about meal prepping, is there a resource for our listeners that they can, you know, something simple? Is it a spreadsheet? What do you recommend? How that can they go about making that meal prepping easier?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of like social media, people who have, ideas and recipes, and sometimes you can even grab some free like meal prep, ideas from them. But really and truly, I believe that if you can just have a schedule, and whether that schedule is that, you make it out for the month, you do a rotation every 2 weeks, or you just have pasta Mondays and taco Tuesdays, and you have some type of guardrails, a guideline that you are creating within your like meal planning and prepping, it tends its way towards you not having to like feel as though you have to be super creative all the time. And that's going to make things a lot easier. But then you want to look for ways that you can use the same product throughout the week too.
It's kind of like taking into account, you know, especially if you know I've got treatment on Tuesday, you know, kind of what you're going to have. And this should be easier on you if you plan ahead. And also taking into account your schedule, whether it's the kids have football on Saturday or they have a choir concert, you know, all of those things. There's a whole point to this other than saving money and eating healthy. I mean, this can be simpler for you. It can simplify things so that you don't all of a sudden just go, oh, shoot, let's just run to the, you know, XYZ so restaurant drive through and get 2000 calorie hamburger.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is just what ends up happening. We get to the house and it's late and maybe we didn't expect to be out, or maybe we did. And it's either a peanut butter jelly sandwich, something frozen, or we drive ourselves through the drive through, order DoorDash, something of the sorts. And so, you know, there is cost savings, health, and time all to like this aspect. And, you know, especially when you're just know that you're going to be tired after treatment, or that you don't have the help in town that you would typically have because of a trip or something, being able to get that done beforehand instead of being so tired that we just skip the meal is important.
Or snack, or, you know, I mean,
absolutely,
we've all been guilty of that. You know, the other thing that I think is important to take into consideration is dialing it in the way it needs to be dialed in. And what I mean by that is what you said a second ago is maybe you are trying to gain weight, or maybe you're needing to lose weight. Maybe so you can tailor that to what you need. And how are they going to know that without speaking to like our dietitian, for instance, right?
For sure.
That's important. If you've not had a dietitian consult, those are available. And I would encourage everybody, no matter where you are, if you're not from Amarillo and you're listening, is speak to a dietitian. There may be one at your hospital that you can speak with, or your clinic. We're just very fortunate to have Rachel work with our folks. But those are very important as well. It's just as not to go in this thing blind if there's some question whether or not you need to gain or lose weight.
Yeah, absolutely. And gain weight, lose weight, manage blood sugars, manage your hypertension, have GI issues. There's a wide array of things. And while the basics are the basics, there are so many like little nitty gritty things that should be taken into account for each individual person. And then there's preference, and there is religion and ethnicity and all of these different things that we should be considering whenever we're helping our patients find a dietary pattern that works for them.
You know, we talked about cost also. You know, one of the things that maybe people could do is look at the ads before they try to meal prep.
Yeah.
save them a little money, knowing what's on sale.
Yeah. And so, yeah, knowing what's on sale, knowing what's going on sale, and being able to utilize that either to plan your week or purchasing at that point in time and freezing it and utilizing it for your next week or something of the sort. All of those things are very useful whenever you are planning to go to the grocery store.
So do you have any other tips for us whenever we're meal prepping or meal planning, prepping?
Yeah, I think that my most important tip is to like know yourself and your preferences, because I know for myself, like I'm not going to cook the same meal and eat it every single day for lunch. There are people who will, and that's awesome. But I know that if I do that, like I'm going to throw away Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I'm going to go to the fast food restaurant anyways, because I just don't prefer leftovers and would rather have something fresh. So if that's you, doing the batch cooking of meats and the batch cooking of like your grains, and just having to saute or roast some vegetables and like make a sauce to combine it all together, that's much more feasible for somebody like that. And so know yourself, because as much as we want this to be cost saving and food saving, it can also be money and food wasting if you're not going to stick to it.
And know your family.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that is so very true.
Especially if you have kids, you know, mm-hmm. to be picky. But that's a very good point, because it can totally turn around and bite you in the rear of, and then you're frustrated, and then you don't do it, and then you give up, and then it's just a downward spiral.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what other tips do you have whenever we go shopping then?
Yeah, so whenever you're shopping, trying to focus on making sure that you're getting enough fruits and vegetables for the week. Vegetables are typically planned into people's meals, but fruits typically aren't. And so if that's not something that you're regularly consuming, we should be getting at least 2 servings of fruit a day. Fruit has great fiber in it, has vitamins and minerals, it has phytonutrients that can help decrease inflammation and a multitude of things in our body. If you're not somebody who's going to plan fruit into your meals, getting enough fruit that you and your family can have 2 servings of fruit throughout the week, and thinking about how we can touch on the different colors of fruits and vegetables throughout the week, that's useful too. So that way we're getting in a multitude of different vitamins and minerals and phytonutrients. So that's useful. And then, you know, there's a lot that can be said about utilizing the perimeter, but there's also a lot that can be said about some of the things that you can find within the aisles. And so if you're not going into the aisles themselves, you're missing out on nuts and seeds and some of those grains that we still need. And you know, nuts have a lot of great healthy fats in it. They have fiber, they have plant-based proteins. While we should concentrate on some of those fresher foods, there are things within the aisles that can be useful too. Popcorn's a great snack. Fiber, whole grain, and you're not going to find that on the perimeter.
What happens whenever you come to the cheese aisle, the dairy aisle? What should we be looking for there?
I think that again depends on who you are. There are reduced fat cheeses. You can, you know, grab the 2%. Cheddar cheese, and some people are like, and I'm like, it's just made with 2% milk. You know, it's not like it's like something crazy. It's just made with 2% milk instead of whole milk. And so that can be useful to help decrease calories if that's what you're looking for. But again, you know, if that's not what you're looking for, cheeses that are a little bit more fresh or unpasteurized might be something that you're looking for, or maybe not. And so then, you know, you go over to dairy, and that can be whole milk, or it might be 2%, or it might be skim. Again, I think that really like goes back and depending upon like where you're at with weight, your labs, and who you are, because there's been some interesting research on full fat or higher fat dairy with females and hormones. And I think that all those things have to be taken into perspective, along with taste, and preference and taste. And so those things should be a priority, whenever we're choosing things for us individually.
So I'll go ahead and ask the question. I know our listeners are dying to know. Are you ready for this? What about the almond milk and the cashew milk and the
all the nut milks.
The nut milks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're not trying to stump you, but I just know somebody's going, well, what am I supposed to do about this?
Yeah, for sure. I think that whenever it comes to milk, you know, if you are somebody who's trying to cut back on number of ingredients, your cow's milk is going to be your least number of ingredients. And if you're somebody who doesn't tolerate cow's milk, doesn't like the taste of soy milk, always recommend to go over to soy. Because soy is going to have the next best protein content. You can also look at like pea protein milk if that's something that you wanted to look into. But when we get into almond milk and coconut milk and those types of things, there's very minimal protein in those. We're also more likely to purchase the sweetened version because the regular versions just don't typically taste that great. And so then we're having added sugars. Whereas, you know, with these other types of milks, we're not going to have those added sugars. And so that again, kind of goes back to preference. And I think that the jury's out on like a really like firm recommendation. But the vitamin D and calcium content and the protein content in cow's milk is going to be really hard to match somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, I have the sweet tooth. What about something sweet on the shopping list?
Absolutely. I think that fruit is a great way to get that sweet.
Yeah, Pam.
Yeah. I tell people that, you know, if you end your dinner with fruit, your likelihood of wanting something sweet later on is probably going to be less. But there's also lightly coated almonds or other types of nuts that could be like a good like sweet treat for somebody. Peanut butter is a good way.
What about dark chocolate?
Yeah, dark chocolate would be a good option.
Versus milk chocolate?
yes. Less added sugars in dark chocolate. And chocolate has a really great magnesium content to it. And, you know, magnesium is something that we lose a lot of the times whenever we're going through certain types of chemotherapy treatments, but also is important for hormone production for women and sleep and mood. And so, there's a great theory behind why we want chocolate at certain times.
Maybe just not the whole bar.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think portion sizes, whenever you're looking at those food labels, is so important. And being able to kind of rationalize like what is a portion versus what feels like it needs to be a portion.
Yeah. Again, labels are important if you read them.
Yeah.
And if you don't get tricked by them.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that, you know, you've got to be careful. You know, you said low sodium doesn't necessarily mean a lot of low sodium. Mm-hmm. It's just a small percentage of, you know, so take advantage of, you know, getting with a dietitian, asking those questions, come to our class. And, these are questions that I know that you get asked on a pretty regular basis. So it's an opportunity to meet with a dietitian if you are in Amarillo or you're here for your treatment or an appointment or whatever the case may be. Schedule those things around when we have our nutrition class. It's very important. You know, I think it's important too, Pam. Let's just talk about this real quick with Rachel. And we are super excited because we're going to be moving into a new facility later this year.
Barry, it's coming quick.
It's coming very quick. And mm-hmm. Rachel, I know, is excited because Rachel got to completely outfit our kitchen that we're going to have in our new facility. So we're actually going to be able to have Rachel do cooking demonstrations, cooking classes and things like that. And I know you're excited about it. I know our folks may not really know about that just yet. So we're kind of letting that out a little early, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be really fun. Rather than having to do some little hot plate and things like that, you're actually going to have an oven and a stove. So yeah. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited to be able to like also do some different cooking techniques and talk about the way that those can benefit our patients and that type of thing. And so being able to do full on demos and take a little bit longer throughout the class and do the full cooking process will be super beneficial and will allow us to be a little bit more creative.
Yeah.
I think we need to take our lunch hour then.
I do. You know, the other thing that's going to be fun, Pam, I know this was a want and a desire for you guys as well as Rachel, is we're hoping to have a fresh garden. and be able to use fresh vegetables in your cooking classes. Yeah. So lots of neat, fun things happening. But I think that's important to share because, you know, you guys need to, it sounds weird, right? To go meet with the dietitian.
Right.
And I don't want that to be ugly and no offense, but it's not like I'm going to the gym to work out. You know, I'm going to go talk to someone about my eating habits and maybe that's not glamorous, but it is important and it's something that we have available for you. So thank you for what you do with our folks and for really kind of changing lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's important for listeners to know that like nutrition education is important, but also like our habits surrounding our food is important. And I think that that's where dietitians like really like come into play at a different point compared to like where you're going to just like find information through other sources or through online is that we're trained in behavior changes. We're trained in medical diagnoses. We're trained in cooking and in food products. And so there's a lot more than just like saying like, oh, like food education. There's behavior change. There's medical diagnoses. There's helping manage through symptoms and labs and medication and things of that sort. So yeah.
I know a lot of our people like to Google, and so sometimes Google doesn't always produce the correct information. So here we have it, you know, a person for you to come and talk to. All you have to do is give us a call at 806-331-2400. You can use our app to request an appointment to see Rachel as well.
And it doesn't have to be in person. As we were just talking before we started this podcast, you know, you're doing consults over the phone and visiting with folks. So if you're, you know, living in the 26 counties of the Panhandle, Rachel is accessible to you. You do not have to be face to face. You can do it over the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rachel, do you have anything before we get to our last segment?
I don't think so.
Okay. That brings us to our Auto Inc. inspiring moment. Do you have an Auto Inc. inspiring moment that you can share with our listeners?
Absolutely. I wanted to tie it back to today's topic of food planning and meal prepping. And so had a patient recently who had very limited resources in terms of being able to cook and being able to purchase things. And so by sitting down and really thinking through a like meal plan and being able to structure what that looks like at the grocery store to make the most bang out of her buck, we were really able to find a full week's worth of food that we were able to purchase in an appropriate amount of money and just using, you know, a microwave and to be able to nourish without necessarily having to do the frozen and the fast food all the time. And so that was really exciting for her.
So awesome.
Google's not going to do that for you.
No,
it's not. No. It's not. No. And that comes from experience. That comes from your wealth of knowledge. And, again, changing lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I enjoy these episodes. I always say, and I know we talk about always learn something, but I do. I always figure out, you know, oh, I need to do this better, or I need to do that better. And so I hope that you did as well, you guys listening today. Rachel, thanks again for joining us.
I enjoyed it.
It's always fun. Pam?
Yes.
What is our homework for our listeners?
I think they need to come and check us out for one of our nutrition class. If you have a topic in nutrition, please let us know. You know, these are things that Rachel's willing to cover.
Bacon cheeseburgers.
Maybe in moderation, but not every day. But, you know, we're always looking for topics for nutrition that y'all want to listen to. So I think that's our homework. Get online and, you know, RSVP for the class, show up and bring a guest with you so they can learn as well.
Yeah. You know, bring your neighbor, bring your caregiver, bring your spouse, bring your sister, you know, someone that's close to you. You can obviously come by yourself. That's okay. But we do encourage you to bring someone with you. It's important to take good care of yourself during treatment and after treatment.
Absolutely.
Very important. Well, thank you guys for listening. Be sure and join us next time for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon. Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships as they have supported the 24 Hours in the Canyon Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website at 24survivorship.org.